Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Visually Stunning Movie Podcast. I am Mark. Joining me once again today is the lovely and talented Val Cameron. Hi, Val.
Hey.
We just barely, an hour and a half ago, got out of a screening for a film that no one's going to see this review until tomorrow morning at 7 a.m.
Yeah. That's cutting it close, man.
I know, right? That's about 15, 14 and a half hours away from now. So it's going to take us that long to say something about this film and for me to edit it all together. The latest Sony Spider Typeverse film, Madame Web. I tried not to read too much into this coming in. I tried not to get too involved in behind the scenes shenanigans in terms of writers and directors and delays. Sometimes that happens. I think this was delayed once, but I can't swear to that.
Yeah.
But again, that happens a lot. But yeah, so we have Dakota Johnson as Cassandra Webb. Ironic, that's with two B's if you're keeping track at home. Sydney Sweeney, Isabella Merced, and Celeste O'Connor play her three cohorts. Tahir Rahim plays our antagonist slash villain type guy. There is both a lot to unpack here to talk about, and there's a lot to not unpack about this film. let's start with a quick synopsis. Cassandra Webb's mother in 1973 is in the Amazon searching for a spider because it might have healing properties. So again, we have scientists run amok. She is pregnant at the time. Events happen, cut to 2003 in New York City, and Cassandra Webb is now a EMT driving a ambulance. Something happens and she starts seeing things. And then the narrative ball gets rolling. It's a little slow to that point. And we'll talk about that. How do you feel about the premise? I'm not well versed in all things Madame Web. I know she is an actual comic book person.
Yes.
I'm not familiar with her origin in the comics. I believe the powers by the end of the film line up. But that said, how did you feel coming out? What were your first thoughts coming out?
I'm the same as you. I know that Madame Web exists. I know all of the characters that are being introduced in Madame Web, the movie, exist because I'm a Spidey fan. And so I have seen all of these characters of the young girls, you know, that turn into these other spider characters.
Yep.
So I do know that it exists. You can tell if you're not well-versed with this character that she came out after a lot of well-known comic book characters that Marvel has already done. So as you're watching the film, you know, I see some X-Men in there. I see some Doctor Strange in there. I see, of course, Spider-Man in there. You know, there's a lot of things going on as far as things that you're familiar with.
Visually speaking, right? We're talking, and there's nothing wrong with
visually,
that.
Visually, but story-wise as well, because you have, when you have comic book superhero stories, the origins are usually, like you said, very similar. There's some kind of science involved. You have some kind of scientist that either turns into the hero, superhero, or super villain, or in this case, you have both. And what I did like about how unique it was is that I like it when you have a derivative of a character that you already like. And for me, it's Spidey, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's not the same superpowers. And so I did like the fact that different spider people, they don't all come out with the same superpowers. Because just like, you know, I would say in The Incredible Hulk, which we kind of get a feel like that, is you can use the same serum twice mm-hmm. and you're not going to get the same, you know, outcome. And so that's very much of these spider people. I didn't pay attention to a lot going in, Mark, because you couldn't really, unless you dug for it, find out really what this movie is about, because they didn't do a whole lot of marketing for this film.
No, they didn't. There was like one trailer.
See, yeah. All I could see is that they have a Spidey character. You've got a movie full of females, which is great. And that the lead character in this superhero movie is going to be Dakota Johnson. Now, Dakota Johnson is not my favorite, right?
Okay, that's fair.
She always kind of plays this sweet, innocent, doesn't know a lot about what's going on in almost every movie I've seen her in. I think only one of the only ones was probably, what is it, Peanut Butter Falcon? Is that what it's called?
Was she in Peanut Butter Falcon?
She was in it.
She was in Cha-Cha Real Smooth as well.
Yeah. But again, a lot of these movies that she's in, you say them, and then you're like, oh yeah, she was in that. It's, you know, but she kind of plays the same, and I didn't understand the casting until I saw the film. But I mean, yeah, it just, going in, I did not have high hopes. And sitting there watching it, see, I felt like the beginning, like leading up to her kind of figuring out that she has these powers, I actually thought it went in a good pace. It was kind of a good pacing for me. Where it got a little long is once she figured it out, there was a lot of the same dialogue over and over.
Yeah, there's a problem with movies about predestination and precognition is that cinematically, then you get a lot of do-overs. And so this movie has a lot of do-overs. So you get a lot of the same dialogue. You get a lot of the same things. It is tough to do. I mean, you know, Groundhog Day is one thing when you're playing it for laughs. This is supposed to be serious. You know, this is more, akin to, what was it? What was the Nicolas Cage one where he could see the future?
Premonition. Yeah, and I don't mind the seeing of the future and the repetitive of that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking like her basic dialogue with the girls. Like they gave her a lot of the same dialogue over and over, like a nagging mother. And
I was going to say mommy dialogue.
Like she's supposed to be, like not their savior or their caretaker, but she wants to take care of these girls reluctantly at first, but then she kind of gets into it. But a lot of her dialogue as they're kind of going through these fights and they're in the car, it's just this constant nagging I felt like. And I'm like, okay, you only need to say that once or twice. And then you can utilize that same emotion by actually doing action.
Right.
Instead of saying. And so that's kind of where it kind of drug on for me. But I actually didn't mind the little repetitiveness, and I like how they built it up over time. So the first time it occurs, it's just very slight. It's almost like she said, it's like a deja vu. Like we've all had that deja vu, like where did that happen? Or was that just me thinking it happened?
Yeah.
You know, and then it kind of grew over time. But it seemed like her superpowers that have been in her body her whole life were triggered by her falling in the water, like
no.
a trauma.
Death.
Right. A trauma.
Well, yeah. Death. Yeah. But she died.
Yeah.
She died.
So if she never would have died.
Yeah.
Would it just have been in there and benign the whole time?
Yeah. So there's a lot you can take from this. I almost at one point wanted to think that they were going to try to slide the word mutant in,
But since, I don't know that they can.
But since Sony does not own Mutant, Marvel does, it would have taken an act of God by Marvel, who worked with them on this, as they do.
Yeah.
And I don't think they will. I think Sony, they're saving that for yeah. what's coming up. But yeah, it almost feels that way. And you're like, yeah, when you said that everyone is affected by the spider different. It's like, yeah, because the spider has a venom that interacts with your DNA and everyone's DNA is different. So that's one aspect of it. I actually liked the stuff in Peru in the Amazon.
Yeah.
I think that was the more interesting bits of it for me. Not that I don't want people to think I didn't like the movie. Cause look, Caitlin yelled at me when I said this is better than Morbius. But we all know.
I think it's just that we all don't want to we don't want to think about that.
Right. Well, and to be fair, again, Morbius is not a terribly, terribly high bar. It's a pair of socks on the carpet. If you're walking over it, that's how low that bar is. So then you have to start comparing it. Well, where does it fall in the rest of Spider-Verse? It's nowhere near Tom Holland Spider-Man. So now you've got Venoms to compare it to.
Right.
And I think it's better than Venom 2. But I like Venom 1 better. I liked Venom 2.
But so, it's not even going to be in that cinematic universe. So we have to understand this is a Sony movie. And what they allude to with different Easter eggs in this movie is that it goes into the Spider-Man Sony-verse that they have created. So this is going to go back to a Tobey Maguire Spider-Man age,
or
Andrew Garfield, whichever one you want to do. But before they merged because...
But you can't even do that. Had this been, because like I said, it started in 73, and this takes place in 2003. In 2003, Tobey Maguire is Spider-Man.
Yeah, so, what I'm saying is the background. Because
right.
Because if you're in the Spider-Verse where Spidey has an uncle and not an aunt that takes care, I mean, but it's also in the Spider-Verse. They say, at the end of the movie is that the best thing about the future is that it hasn't happened yet, which means that she can change the future before it happens.
Yes.
That's what she's doing, is she's seeing glimpses and she's being able to change it. And now that she has a little more control over it, then it really could be inside any Spider-Verse out there. And they even threw in one of the female Spider-Verse characters that they have in Across the Spider-Verse.
Yes, they did.
Yes, which that made me super happy.
So, yeah. So, I mean, as soon as you introduce the multiverse, you can get away with all of this stuff.
Now anything can happen.
Yeah, so this film doesn't deal with the multiverse, but it can exist within that Sony multiverse.
It hasn't dealt with it yet, but I see it coming. I feel like it's coming.
It would have to, and a lot of that I think is going to be dependent on how well it does at the box office.
I don't think it's going to do well.
I don't either. I said that I think its opening week per screen average is going to be less than my paycheck. And I don't think I'm wrong. But I will tell people whether I am right or wrong when the first week's releases come. And that might be... Well, it's going to have a 5-day opening weekend because it opens on Valentine's Day, which is Wednesday. So Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. This is a 5-day opening weekend. Mm-hmm. So I'm not saying it's not going to do $65 million across 5 days. I'm saying it's per screen average. That's my prediction, is that it's going to be less than my paycheck. If I'm wrong, that means this movie is doing really well. So I kind of want to be wrong.
I think the mistake is having it come out on Valentine's Day. Because I think you have a certain percentage of nerds and Marvel fans and comic book superheroes that do want to see a strong female cast superhero movie.
Yes.
I don't think it's one that the mass majority want to see on Valentine's Day.
No.
Even if both you and your partner are into that.
Right.
I think that was their biggest mistake. And then you've got a huge group of people that detest the female superhero on the big screen anytime, whether they're front and center or they're in the back. So, and so they're not going to go out of their way if their wife is not, or their other partner, I'm not going to assume any partner that you have wants to raise their hand and say it. I don't think it's going to be something that many people, I'm not going to say anyone, many people surprise their Valentine's partner with.
Yeah.
On so Valentine's
this,
Day.
This is going to be an intentional movie.
It's very much going to be intentional.
But I don't know. You're right. I don't think that it's an event movie. I certainly don't think that it's a Valentine's Day event movie. If you like what you're seeing and hearing, please feel free to like us, share us, follow us wherever you're listening to us. Actually, if you're on YouTube, click subscribe. That would be great. Go to the website at vsmoviepodcast.com, and that will give you links to all of our socials. It'll give you write-ups of stuff that's not audio, but you'll get pretty much everything there. So if you like what you're seeing and hearing, make sure you share it with everyone else. Now let's get back to the show.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I didn't, like I said, I didn't mind it. I think that there are some issues with predestination films, with any predestination narrative. There's issues there. The Terminator paradox is in full effect here, as it is in most time travel movies. And so in many ways there's this Greek tragedy element to these characters from a narrative sense.
Yeah, very much so.
It's okay. The girls are the worst part. I would have felt better if it had just been her against our villain.
I think the villain was the worst part.
Because again, you're trying to have a Spider-Man movie without Spider-Man in it and without saying Spider-Man. And you say everything up to, but not quite.
Spider people.
Yeah, I know. They actually did. So spider people.
Well, and I mean, he's not. I get why they don't say it, because he isn't Spider-Man.
Well, right? He doesn't exist. I meant the villain. Yeah. Okay.
Right. And so if they were to call the villain Spider-Man and even put that out there, it's going to piss fans off. But also in the comic books, they don't call him Spider-Man, right?
No, they just call him Wall Guy.
It just exists in a totally different universe.
This is very siloed off.
Yeah.
From everything else.
They unsiloed it when they made her best friend Ben, right?
In a multiversal format, that can exist. That can happen and be isolated, because that's how you get, 300 Peter Parkers. That's how you get different aged Peter Parkers and different versions, whether.
So, I mean, but they kind of said it doesn't, but it does.
Well, again, it's in a world where Ben Parker exists.
Yeah.
So Ben Parker is going to exist in basically any multiverse.
Right.
The question is, what happens to Ben?
They don't say the name of the baby, but they allude to who this baby is.
Right.
And they talk about where this baby's dad is.
Yes.
They talk about, so all these things allude to these Easter eggs that there is going to be, or maybe at some point we will see Spider-Man.
Or if there's not, they do have plausible deniability because it's a multiverse, and it can be a multiverse right. in which none of that happens.
Yeah.
So
we'll see. One of the things that they're getting people excited by showing flashbacks or flash forwards of
yes.
our female superheroes in their superhero garb that you see in the comic books, mm-hmm. right? And their garb, I have to say, it follows pretty closely.
And they look good.
To what you see in the comic books. The only one that's a little bit different and that some super crazy people are going to have an issue with, I just called you super crazy if you have an issue with this, is that Maddie Franklin, her character and her costume, I want to say costume, her superhero garb, is different than what they portray on the big screen. But if you haven't gotten over yet that our world is a different place and we include all the peoples, then I would just say step out of the superhero comic book movies for the rest of your life. Either get over it, move on, move forward, or just leave. The door is over here.
Yeah, like,
but
no, it's like I said, I don't have a dog in this fight. You know, I didn't have a dog in the Ms. Marvel series fight either. I went into that and I watched that show as a show, and I made my determination based on that. So I went
I go watch movies to watch movies.
That is true.
Because we need to see if it's a good movie or a bad movie.
And that's how I had to look at this. I liked the look ahead look of the three.
Yeah.
I liked that.
But I think that was one of the only legs it was standing on for people that are going into this film that don't know and don't care, is it's this flashy thing that's something, or people that know the comics that don't really care for what they're doing here. And then they could say, well, this wasn't great, but I'm really excited to see those characters. That's what I'm here for.
Right.
Madam Web is whatever, but these three are what it's all about.
Yeah, I don't know that I cared for that kind of Max Headroom look there at the end, or the Doc Brown, I guess, at the end. But sure, I guess it's that's a quibble. The rest of it, like I said, she doesn't really have a costume garb uniform, in the film. So they just get her to the end and she's kind of this thing. And I just, like I said, that thing right there, I just didn't care for. But no, the rest of them, I thought they looked suitably. They looked comic book, but they didn't look cartoony, if that makes sense. And that's what I want in a cinematic superhero.
Yeah.
Because what is on the page, people, does not always translate to what goes on the screen.
And it doesn't work. Really can't, right?
Yeah.
And if I would have looked it up before I went in there, I would know that Madam Web is in a wheelchair. But when I saw it happening, I was like, oh my gosh. So is this like a mix up of, Professor X and, two other things? So
it's Oracle from Birds of Prey.
Barbara Gordon. On the web, it says Madam Web is a fictional character appearing in American comic books published by Marvel Comics. She first appears in The Amazing Spider-Man number 210, published in November of 1980.
Okay.
So the first time we see her, she's in The Amazing Spider-Man.
Yeah.
And Ezekiel plays a big part, and that this is another thing. So if Ezekiel plays this big part in all of her stories, then there's no way. Well, there is a way. Marvel does it, and so does DC. They kill off their villain
right
in the first time that they present him to the audience, which I wouldn't mind in this place, because I just thought his character was flat. His dialogue was awful.
Well,
But maybe they can make him better. I don't know.
Well, see, my problem with him was actually that he goes from what he is at the beginning, and I'm not going to say it, and he goes to what he is for the rest of the movie. And so he has become this super rich, powerful dude.
Yeah.
But we have no idea what he actually is. It's like he took the beginning of the film and he became this, but it's like, is he an evil Elon Musk tech baron? Is he, Is he an arms dealer? Is he, you know, what is he? Why is he in this position that he's in? Is he just a kingpin crime boss? What? Mm-hmm. I don't know. But then he does all this other stuff. And so he's flat because they don't actually tell us what he is. He's just dude from beginning plugged in to be villain. And it's like,
yeah,
no, give me a little more. I mean, tell me why he is, or tell me how he is where he is, because the, you know, event X in the beginning is not why he is where he is. I want to know that. You need to know that. You need that for a good villain. And so
I didn't even think about this one is, what if it's not Peter Parker? What if it's Kane Parker?
I am not, not versed in Kane.
So Kane Parker, can be an ally, an enemy to Peter Parker and Ben Reilly. But his aliases are also Peter Parker, Spider-Man, Tarantula, and Scarlet Spider. So I'm wondering,
but what's his origin? As people are yelling at the screen right now, what they know his origin.
I mean,
is,
I don't remember, but I do know that he's in Earth 616, and I know that when we get into Ben, because we've seen Ben Reilly, right? Ben Reilly's been teased a few times in a couple different movies.
Yes,
we've seen in the Sony Spider-Verse. We've seen Scarlet Spider. We've seen someone that looks like Ben Reilly. And so if you go down and look at the 616 characters and what we're seeing across the Spider-Verse, that may be the direction that they're going.
Kane is a clone.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So
that's interesting. But you got to have somebody to clone.
Well, you have Peter to clone, but doesn't mean that Peter turns into Spider-Man.
No, that's true. That's true.
Like, I'm just like, now we can kind of, they can make whatever rules they want to make.
They can.
Right? And so if something happens in this different universe, this different Spider-Verse to Peter before he becomes Spider-Man and he gets cloned into Kane.
Yeah.
We have kind of an interest. I mean, I'd go see that.
That would be interesting.
You know what I mean? I'd go see that. But I'm pulling at straws here because like, I don't know. I do like the idea that we're going to get the stories of these female, spider characters, because, you know, if you go to any, I didn't know about a lot of them and I started looking into them probably 10 years ago when I started going to a lot of conventions and you see a lot of costumes and I'm like, ooh, that's a different spider. Oh, that's a different spider, because I read Amazing Spider-Man and I watched the cartoons growing up, but you didn't get all of these female characters, right? X-Men is usually where you got the female characters, but you didn't get all the spiders, you know? So I'm kind of excited to see what they want to do with these characters on the big screen, and the fact that they started them younger than they were in the comic books means that they have a lot of range and they're thinking about a long-term storyline.
Yeah, in terms of that, I'm just wondering if maybe that's not better suited to a series. I hate to say that. If you're going to develop if you're going to develop three interrelated heroes, that doesn't sound that doesn't sound like a film to me. That's
X-Men. Yeah. X-Men.
I think it's a tough sell. It's hard, and those are hit or miss. I don't know.
But it's there. Yeah.
But you can easily overcrowd a film by trying to develop too many characters. And I'm just wondering, what's Sony's streaming outlet?
I mean, I didn't know how Across the Spider-Verse was going to be a thing and not be a complete mess. Right. And it could have been a disaster.
Yes.
So if they're going to pay attention to their films that have succeeded, which are the Spider-Verse animated movies, then maybe if they listen to that, this could be a good idea. But we see that DC doesn't do that, because DC's animated movies surpass their live action movies by far. But Marvel lately seems to have a better, if you take away 2023, seems to have a better track record than DC. So, I mean, I'm willing to say I'm willing to see how this goes. I went into this film thinking that it was going to be an awful waste of my afternoon.
Right.
And that it was going to be a hot pocket going in and coming out.
Right.
Just not great. But it didn't suck. There were a lot of things about this film that I liked. But let's go back to The Incredible Hulk. Let's go back to Spider-Man 2 and 3 from the Sony era.
Yeah.
We liked the characters, but the cheesy dialogue and the moments that you're like, oh, I really want to like this movie so much because it's so cool, but that was a groany moment and that was a groany moment. It took us back to that age of superhero movies. And that may have been a good thing for Sony. That may have been what audiences are looking for at the moment, and then they'll kind of pull it into the future. I don't know, but there was the dialogue.
Sometimes was pretty...
For the villain, I think every time he spoke, I don't know, it was awful. And sometimes it looked like it was dubbed. I hate watching dubbed things.
Oh, yes.
But it was so unreal, I thought someone else was speaking for this man.
Yeah, some of their dialogue wasn't great either.
I know, but his was like 100% all the time.
It was, yeah,
except for when he was in the jungle.
I know,
when
right? He was just being a dude, just yeah. being a dude and talking. Yeah, it's a thing. I agree. There's a lot of neat stuff in here. There's a lot of good stuff in here. I think there's a better cut, in there. But
and it's only an hour and a half. So
no, it's an hour and 55 minutes.
Okay. An hour. Well,
it's damn near. It's almost 2 hours. It's almost 2 hours, an hour and 57, according to IMDb.
Then there should be a better cut. I thought it was an hour and a half that you could definitely cut at least 20 minutes out of that film.
Yes. I'm sure there's footage that they could swap out and leave it an hour and 57 minutes. There's a better cut. That's still around two hours.
Yeah.
Let me put it that someone's editing bay has got files of things that were cut, and that they could I'll bet there's some better stuff in there. I feel like there was some stuff that was reworked. Like the whole diner sequence was 2003 cringe.
And it was just too much of it.
Yeah,
there was they just kept showing us again, even without the flashbacks or flash forwards or epiphanies or whatever you want to call them.
Well, I like that.
Give me a scene that's just a teeny bit different, but it was super cringy when the girls were dancing on the table.
Yeah, that was bordering on whoa.
It was also the reason why it was cringy is because it wasn't. If I were to hang out with those girls like she did for a day, there was nothing about any of those girls' personalities that would make me think they're going to get up on a table and dance. And the girl that initiated
start a fight is too maybe.
Yeah, that she's too hardcore to get up on a table and dance like that for a bunch of guys.
No,
like
she goes over and punches one of them.
It was totally out of character for any of those girls to get up there. And so for me, that's why it was so cringy, because why did you do it? What was the whole idea? Because you could have had them interact with those guys in any other way. Was it because of Britney Spears song was on and in that video they're mimicking it? For me it didn't work in a lot of different ways.
Yeah, there's a better cut here. But again, this is not a bad film.
No.
I think we talk a lot of, it's fine. It's a good film. It's not a great film. It's not a spectacular film.
It's a medium. It's the middle of the road.
Yeah, it is. But again, after this, what have we had? We've had the Spider-Man movies. We've had the Spider-Verse movies. We had Morbius. We had two Venoms. And then next up, we get Kraven the Hunter.
Yeah.
Which
are we still getting it?
I unfortunately did watch the trailer for that back in the day.
Okay.
I have... what's less than zero hope. I have
Where
negative.
Where is that on our schedule?
Not yet. It's coming this summer.
I was going to say, because Deadpool is next. And if you watch
Well, I'm just talking trailer... from Sony. Again, there's Sony, there's DC, there's Marvel. Because Sony is still different, or still separate.
Yeah.
I think next up is Deadpool. But we have Kraven coming from the Spider universe without Spider-Man. And I don't know about that one. Does not look good at all. However, if it surprises me the way this one did, then it will be a good film. And that's better than, you know, being suckered into releasing Morbius to theaters a second time because the fans, you know, goaded you into thinking that you could actually make money with that film. So, like I said, but this one, Madam Web, I don't know. Like I said, it's not going to do gangbusters. It will be a flop, in technical terms, because the budget has to be high. The budget has to be high.
But you know what was also a flop last year in the box office?
What?
Killers of the Flower Moon.
I know, but I don't think this is going to get any Oscar nominations.
No, it's definitely not. And neither should that movie.
Killers of the Flower Moon is a separate argument we can have. Yeah, I know.
I'm just saying, it might be something that once it goes streaming, like, people will really like it. I would say if you want to go, don't not see it on the big screen, but I would go see it on like a $5 Tuesday. I don't know that you need to spend full price for this film on the big screen, but there were some really cool action shots. There is a shot in there's three shots in the film that I remember, and it's very much they're cells from a comic book, which was really cool. I really liked that they gave us some of like comic book action scenes, and I do really like it that our main female character is a kick-ass driver, right? Like, I thought that was really neat. Like, for me, I was just like, all right, like, that's kind of a cool little, you know, notation in the film that, I mean, a lot of people aren't going to take it, like, even pay attention, whatever. But I thought that was kind of neat. Yeah. But she also had kind of a Jessica Jones vibe, right? Jessica Jones doesn't really have an outfit, but she does have an outfit. Mm-hmm. And so does Black Widow before we see her outfit. When she's in her regular street clothes, it's very much jeans, that leather jacket that she wears all the time. That kind of tells you who she is. And I do think that this character, Madam Web, also has that.
I would also real quick like to note that apparently, according to the interwebs, the budget on this is $80
million. Ew.
So, okay.
Did they get a lot of that from Pepsi?
I don't know. They did have that big light up sign.
And a whole bunch of Pepsi cans.
And a whole lot of Pepsi cans and bottles. You betcha. They did. So, yeah. So $80 million. So we'll, we'll see how that goes. It'll make money eventually in the theaters, but yeah, this is not a $1 billion movie. But $80 million makes this a lot more palatable, I think, to studios. And it proves that you can make a superhero movie on $80 million. Like you can make a monster movie on $15 or less million, Godzilla minus one.
They probably could have spent less if they wouldn't have had so many writers.
Three writers. Again, the budget for this would be fine if the narrative was tweaked and made a little better. I don't think that changes the cost of the film. So I think, yes, you can do this stuff for $80 million. And great, do it, please.
Yeah.
For the love of God. There has
fix
to be a way
your dialogue
to do it.
And tweak your editing.
Fix your dialogue and tweak your editing. There you go. That's what we're going to say. That's what we're going to say about Sony Pictures, Madam Web. Val, where can people find you all over the great big interwebs?
I am really trying to boost my YouTube page. So if you go over to my YouTube channel at I Am Val Cameron, just like you see up here. And also, I started doing little 3-minute movie chats on my TikTok. So also, I Am Val Cameron. I try and keep it easy. I'm I Am Val Cameron across all socials.
Yeah, you're much more organized than I am. I have two versions. So, so thanks for coming on. Everyone, thanks for joining us here at the Visually Stunning Movie Podcast. Don't forget to like us, follow us on your socials, VS Movie Podcast, Visually Stunning Movie Podcast. You'll find us. We're not hard to find at all. And we're everywhere you could hope to find us, except for TikTok, because I'm old and I'm not going to TikTok. That's just...
Get on the TikTok, Mark.
Not going to get on the TikTok, you whippersnapper. Not going to do it. But no, so there we go. Till next time, I'm Mark. That's Val. Bye, Val.
Bye.
We'll talk to you later.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.